eagle has landed is correct. It's your boys, it's the brothers, and we're back on your Blog Talk Radio. I am your boy from the first state, home of our great president, home of the blue hen, home of chicken, home of whatever. It's your boy Dre, and in studio with me, as always, from Charm City, where you got to be more careful, it's none other than the educator of the crew. Maurice is in the building. Maurice, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? Now, I'm going to be real honest with you tonight, as much as I can. So if you hear some chewing going on in the background, that would be because...
I love it. I love it.
He's hungry, and he need to eat. But I won't. I promise you, I won't too loud. I promise you, I won't too loud. I'm just kidding, but I'm not kidding. But I am kidding.
He's not kidding.
It's been a long day. It's been a long day.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Sending love to our brother from another mother in the city of brotherly love, where you got to duck and dodge, shoot and shot. To make sure that no matter what, you can get to the final, but you can't get the ring. Our philosophical brother, Javon, sending love to him in Philadelphia as we host tonight's show. We are excited to be on your airwaves and on your iPads, on your laptops, in your cars, in your Alexas, wherever we're coming live from. We're always excited to be in your earbuds. And really, tonight's just going to be a hot show. Listen, if you want to jump online, if you want to jump in on a conversation, you know, feel free to do so. Call our guest line, 319-527-6083. That's right, call in our hotline at 319-527-6083. That is how you can be a part of the show. If you call in, you're going to be on the show. Let me just make that point clear. If you came to listen, click on the link and listen. But if you dial that number, I'm going to bring you on air.
You will.
So if you're scared to be on air, that ain't the number you want to call. If you just want to listen, then you listen by clicking the link that came up across your screen, and it allows you to listen. But when you dial 319-527-6083, you are inviting yourself to the Last Supper, and we will have you served. But I'm just excited to be back in the airwaves. A lot of stuff has been going on around this country and around the entertainment industry and around a number of places. We haven't talked about it. We want to just really touch on some things tonight, and really come and give you guys our perspective of the things that are going on and how we really feel about it. And if you don't agree with how we feel, we really don't care. Let me just make that point clear so there's no confusion in this matter. That's why they have, you know, these blogs and social media. You can definitely do what you feel. But, you know, if you don't like how we feel, I don't care. So into news, Bad Bunny's former girlfriend files a lawsuit seeking $40 million over a voice recording. Apparently, Carlys de la Cruz Hernandez, who Bad Bunny baby recording was included in two of the artist's songs claimed in a lawsuit filed this month, and a Puerto Rican court that her voice and the phrase she came up with are being used without her permission. Bad Bunny must have been getting paid, because at this point, It was used in the Party song, and it was used in the Dos Milos 16 song, which has more than 60 million views on YouTube and 280 million reproductions on Spotify. And she said, I want my check. Personally, I feel like, you know, if you didn't copyright your recording, you gave me free reign to make money off of it, and I thank you for it. Maurice, what you think?
Yeah, we live in a society now where you can copyright anything. You can copyright a catchphrase. You can copyright your likeness. You can copyright. And you gave him permission once you did not have it copywritten. So good luck, baby. Good luck.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so much you can do. Like, yeah, just have it copywritten. Make sure that no one can take your likeness. You know, you can copyright your image, correct? Your likeness.
Absolutely.
People have to pay you for your likeness. You know, Prince and Michael Jackson are deceased, and people still have to pay for the use of their songs or a use of their image.
And God knows Whitney Houston's family is making enough out of her image and her song.
Right, right. Oh,
so,
copyright everything, people.
Absolutely. John Wick co-star Lance Reddick is deceased. The news has broken out, and across the airways, Keanu Reeves is now speaking out, along with Lawrence Fishburne, I believe, also speaking out.
Halle Berry
has spoken out. Yeah, it's been a lot. A lot of people are still in shock. And so we wish his wife and his family comfort at this time, and our condolences. Very good actor. Very, very good actor. Very good.
Very underrated.
Very underrated. Absolutely. Died to natural causes at the age of 60 on St. Patrick's Day. Also an alumni of hit TV show The Wire. This has been a hard year already for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel bad. Like, the entertainment industry as a whole and the music industry, the entertainment industry as a whole has been taking hit after hit after hit this year.
It's not like it's people you wouldn't recognize. Like, you'd be like, who that is? It's like, these are well-known actors and actresses. And then it's very shocking because they had cancer or they, after a brief illness, you know.
Right.
Like, that's what's taking me out of here. Oh, after a brief illness, or they've been dealing with lung cancer or pancreatic cancer or something for the past 6 months. And it's like,
absolutely.
Whoa, that would explain where they were. And no one saw them.
Absolutely. And they have been heavy hitters that have been going. That's like, wow. Like, you know, like you said, this isn't like somebody who was an extra.
Right. Like Raquel Welch and Lisa Marie Presley. It's like, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Donald Trump is about to be indicted, and he's already calling for a protest. So I guess, you know, being indicted for already having the Capitol stormed is not enough for President Orange.
It's about time, people. It's about time.
Yeah, it's definitely been taking
y'all knew he called that drama. They knew he covered, called their drummer and tried to cover it up.
Absolutely.
Y'all knew that. Y'all knew that when it happened.
I say put him in jail with R. Kelly.
With R. Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then he'll make an album. Then Donald Trump will have an album out.
I'm quite sure Donald Trump will hit all the high notes.
Okay.
I'm with you. It's about time they did it. I really feel like it took too long personally. But enough of the bad news. I really hope this means that he cannot run for office anymore personally.
He would want to sit his old tail down after all this. He's gonna blame it all on Mike Pence.
Absolutely.
The Democrats.
Absolutely. It's Mike Pence and Joe Biden's fault.
Right.
That's his favorite line. Wait, he'll bring back Obama.
Right, it's Obama's fault.
Obama has been blamed for more stuff since he's left the office than Tupac and Biggie combined. I don't understand folk, I promise you. I don't understand these folk. But, I'm just glad that he's gone. I'm glad that our country has moved to a better place. I pray that, I really hope he stays out of office. Like, I just don't understand why we voted him in to begin with. I really felt like we were in, well, look at today's times. I just felt like, the world was already in a social media reality TV aspect. We took that seriously. Like, we allowed that to run the country. Now that we've been smacked ourselves for it, now we can finally move on and accept the fact that we have better in office. Speaking of people who understands death very well, Ed Sheeran is planning posthumous albums to be released. That is very interesting. Ed Sheeran? Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
I'm in love.
I can't
with
say
you.
I miss him so
much. I've never heard of someone who's living begin to put together albums so that when they pass, they will be still on the air.
Contingency plan album, like Should I Die? The album to release after I die. Is that what's happening here?
Should I Die? I'm going to release these songs.
Okay. Interesting that we would plan ahead that way.
Because he's still young.
He knows something about himself that others don't know.
That would be the question That is the question I'm asking. He just put out, I would like my music to continue.
Okay.
So, very interesting.
These are good albums.
Absolutely. Broadway Ames Soul Train musical will be making a world premiere at the American Conservatory Theater, running August the 25th through October the 1st, opening on September 6th to hit this trip. The Soul Train musical will take audiences back to Chicago in 1971 as DJ Don Cornelius transforms the pop culture landscape with his TV show, bringing black music, dance, and style to American living rooms.
Soul Train Broadway?
So it's going to be Soul Train on Broadway, yes. Led by director Camilla Ford, Dominique Moore-Sal from Ain't Too Proud. has penned the book, and Camille A. Brown of Four Color Girls is choreographing. On the producing team is Matthew Weaver, Jeffrey Tick, and Richard Gay, along with executive producers Questlove, Tony Cornelius, which is Don Cornelius' son, Sean G., and Devin Udall. Nick Stern and J. Todd Harris are co-producing. You know, Soul Train was one of the longest-running shows, and as the moniker said, the hippest trip in America, and it was the pinnacle of African-American TV my entire childhood.
Yeah, mine too.
So I'm excited. I am excited. I'm going to try a bus up.
My parents were watching Soul Train in the 70s, I believe, 70s. And I grew up watching Soul Train in the 80s and the late 90s.
Uh-huh.
I remember when Don Cornelius was the host. I remember when Shamar Moore hosted, and what's his name? Dorian Gregory, which I think was the last host. Maestro Clark. Remember Maestro Clark hosted it one year?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess Don Cornelius was like, I need to sit down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Don went through a lot of health problems, and then I think he also had a lot of legal issues that started coming up.
Yeah. I think that's when Maestro Clark, Shamar Moore, and Dorian Gregory took over.
I'm really, really excited for this. Like, I don't know why I just got really excited for this.
Soul Train on Broadway. Okay. All right, Soul Train.
To Broadway. The hippest trip in America will now be the hippest trip on Broadway. I'm excited at this. Like, I really feel like this is something that Broadway needs. I mean, I'm not knocking none of the other stuff that's there. Don't get me wrong. Like, the MJ play has been doing astounding. The Tina Turner play has been doing astounding. Ain't Too Proud led Broadway for years, you know, and they still have Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Phone. They still have a lot of things, but I really think this is going to be something that is going to take Broadway by storm, depending on the soundtrack.
Yeah. Depending on the soundtrack.
Yeah. If you can't catch
that, that will make or break a musical.
Absolutely. And I really feel like if you're going to do a Soul Train musical, you got to bring it. You got to have powerhouses. You got to have people who are not scared to be Aretha, Patti, the whole LaBelle group, the Jackson 5, of course, Teddy Pendergrass. Like, you got to have some heavy hitters that got to play to do a Soul Train musical. I mean, yeah, I'm quite sure it's going to stem a lot on Don Cornelius' life and things like that.
Right.
But, you know, I really, 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 really feel that I really just feel like, I think it would be balls, personally. To actually have a boss play. And it's crazy because this is something that I really wanted to do here in Delaware at one point in time. I was really going to put together like a Soul Train type play. And so to see this musical now coming to Broadway, I'm like, oh, Dre, you should have did what you said you was going to do.
Right.
I'm excited. Are you going?
When I find out, I'll try to go. I want to go. I really want to see a Broadway play. I haven't seen one since 1994, 1995, 1993.
Wow. Okay.
When I went there to see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Wow. Yeah. My first, or my last play I went to go see was Color Purple on Broadway.
With Fantasia.
Actually, I've seen it twice. I've seen it with Fantasia, and I also seen it with Cynthia Erivo as Philly.
Oh, man.
Cynthia just took things to a whole nother level. I'm not even gonna holler at you. Like, I mean, I'm not even gonna like BS you. Like, anybody who knows me knows I love me some Tasia. Cynthia Erivo on Broadway. One of the best of these current lead characters Broadway has ever thought about. That, like, kudos to Whoopi Goldberg and crew for putting her in position, because she, good God, she played silly and she ripped that role. So I'm very, very, very
well.
I was just blown away.
Well, as you know, she's about to start in that movie musical version of Wicked. She's playing the lead role as the Wicked Witch of the West, Elphaba, and Ariana Grande is, I believe, playing Glinda. So they're right now in the process of filming the movie. I don't know if they've finished filming the movie, but I know they're in the process of filming it.
Absolutely, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I think this is going to be dynamic. I think it's going to allow her to shine even the more. I mean, she killed Harriet, you know. She killed Harriet. She's just, Cynthia oh my gosh, she is a vocal beast. And her dynamic of acting, even as Aretha, I preferred her version over Jennifer Hudson, sue me. But I just her voice, her diction, her presentation, classic every time she touches a stage or a camera. And I really feel like she's very much underrated and underappreciated in the entertainment industry. And I really hope that this new role takes her to another level. Like, she is definitely, if she hasn't already achieved it, she is definitely EGOT material.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Cool. Speaking of great things, Prince Harry's children were named as Prince and Princess, and from what I understand, his son has begun taking his first steps.
Yes, it is important. As we all know, I think it's about 2 years ago that the Sussex, because they are the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, decided to step away from their royal duties as full-time royals due to, as we are now seeing, some very high-profile controversy about treatment of the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan. And one of the things, while Queen Elizabeth was alive, her Meghan was not, children would not be receiving, would not receive their prince and princess title. But now that King Charles is the monarch and their grandfather, they now receive their official, His Royal Highness and Her Royal Highness, the Prince and Princess of Sussex. So that is awesome. As the first black. No, I got to throw that in there. Prince and British royalty. Yes, because their mama is black, and there's nothing that they can do about that. But it's interesting how, you know, the Sussexes are fighting so much to be who they are and breaking away from tradition and breaking away from the royal family is difficult. Meghan was not well received in the UK, and unfortunately, it's terrible that she cannot be received in the UK. And the people adore Princess Diana. Princess Diana, if she would have survived, she probably would have been in seeing King Charles had still been married, like she probably would have been the favorite queen of England. So it's kind of interesting about the treatment, you know, how Harry's being treated by his own family. So I'm very happy that they got their title, personally.
Absolutely.
And I think they're 7th and 8th in succession as well. Their dad is 7th. But they fall not too far from him on the succession as monarchy, which they probably would never get because...
That was the question I was about to say.
The only way that they would get it is Kate. The only way they would get it is Prince William and his whole entire family is killed. Then Harry steps up to being the next heir of the royal throne. Yeah, Prince William's children are net behind him. So I think it's his daughter, then his son, mm-hmm. and then and the other son, and then I think it's Prince Harry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to get some people picked off before.
Yeah, you would need like the whole entire Prince William and his whole entire family would have to be gone, be murdered, or something freak has to happen.
Gotcha. Wow. Yep. Oh, well, I'm just happy that they are able to get what's rightfully theirs. And that was the thing that that was my biggest fight the most, I think, was just the fact that we are so overlooked as a community, and the way to me that they were just even treating their mother would have been enough for me to even, you know, to grow up, because, you know, this is never going to go away. You know, this is going to be forever in the history books. And so
right.
I think then as children, once they get older, you know, and to hear, when you were younger, this is what happened. And to hear how their mother was treated is it just, to me, that is enough where they can look back and they can say, okay, we get it, you know, but we got with ours and there's nothing you can
right.
do about it.
Right.
Yeah,
now,
so that's my take on it.
Now, Prince William can take away those titles if he becomes the monarch, if the king. He can decide what to do but right now under their grandfather, because King Charles is their grandfather, they have rights to it. But if Prince William decides to do something, when he becomes a monarch, he could take their titles away from them. Just like the queen of, the queen of Norway. No, it was a queen who took one of her sons, his heir, she took their royal titles from them.
Wow.
She took their whole, it was one of her sons. She didn't take his title away from him. It was his children. She took their titles away from them.
So is that punishment?
No, it wasn't punishment. She said she wanted, the reason why she did it is because she wanted them to have their own identity, and she wanted them to be independent of the monarchy, and which I thought was a good idea, because one son is the direct heir to the throne should she die, and that's her oldest son. So But the other son, she took his children's titles away.
That, wow. That's crazy. What do you feel are like the benefits of being like king and queen?
Blah. I feel like the benefits of being in the monarchy, to be honest with you, Harry and Meghan are financially took a major hit because being a royal and doing your royal duty afforded you houses, cars, a salary that was worth millions of dollars. So they forfeited all of that money that they had. I mean, because of course the monarchy would take care of them. They wouldn't have to want for it. They wouldn't have to find a place to live because they would have a place to live. They didn't have to, their children would be sent to the finest schools. There would just be certain things that they wouldn't have to worry about being a part of the monarchy and their children. Their children would have actually gotten their titles from Queen Elizabeth way before all of this happened. I think that's a benefit because they're basically taken care of. I think one disadvantage, though, is that they're always in the spotlight. They're always, like, you notice when Princess Diana, always in the spotlight. I grew up in the late 80s and I remember Princess Diana and Prince King Charles now, the wedding. I remember their wedding. I remember when they got married. I remember when she died. I remember her funeral. Was on at like 7 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday. So I remember those things. I remember her being in the spotlight because the monarchy in England is like celebrities in the United States. Like the celebrities are always in the limelight. They're always in the forefront. So I believe that's the disadvantage. You're always under scrutiny. Just like Meghan, she's always under scrutiny. If she says something, if she does something, if she wears the wrong thing, you know, the British are extremely harsh towards her. So she's constantly in the limelight.
Is that because of monarchy reasons, or is that because of her skin color, though?
I believe it's both. Actually, it is her skin tone, and it is her being a part of the monarchy. Because remember, they're constantly in the spotlight. If you do something wrong, if you say something wrong, she's going to be scrutinized. Like Camilla Parker, like the queen consort, Camilla. She was constantly in the limelight because she was, at the time when he was Prince Charles, he was Prince Charles's mistress at whom he married. You know, he dumped Diana for her, and she's under scrutiny. Like, you're always under scrutiny for something. So, and Meghan says, yes, she has a double.
Is that scrutiny, though? I mean, like, you're a national homewrecker.
I mean, in her case, no. No, not necessarily scrutiny, the truth.
In her case.
Meghan, different story because she's an American.
Mm-hmm.
American woman who marries into the monarchy. She marries Prince William. She then she's biracial. She's white and she's black. So it's a lot going on for her in that country because we know that racism runs rampant in any country. Racism. And so they're tough on her because she is black, she is African American, she is white, she's Caucasian, and there's a lot of pressure for her. You know, you're trying to fit in with these people who don't necessarily care for you because of who you are. because of your a portion of who you are, not the fullest of who you are,
right,
but a portion
right.
of who you are. So you got to deal with the British people and the monarchy talking about you, saying things that are not true or saying things that are untrue, just like celebrities. It's they are the celebrities
yeah.
of the United States.
United
they
Kingdom.
Have more social, yeah. I mean, United Kingdom. I'm sorry. Thank you. Woo! Because you know they broke away from that United Kingdom.
Yeah. I just always wondered, like, you know, what is the joy? Because I mean, for the amount of hell they go through, I know I could not. I would pass me, please, oh gentle savior. to deal with the foolishness, like, and it, had that been my baby, we would have never been invited back to the castle because the amount of what is going to come out of my throat and not care if you king or queen or anything else.
Right.
You know,
right.
I just feel like we got to do better.
Right. I think that she wasn't, but I also felt like she wasn't ready to handle the responsibility of what her job would entail. So I think she knew just dating him is one thing, but being married to him and being in the part of the royal family is something totally different. You see what I'm saying? Like
right.
you can date someone, but not know what it would take to be in that family or to be, and we can attest to that as people not your family not liking your mate for no apparent reason or having
mm-hmm.
issues with your mate because your mate is a little different from what they were expecting. And I think with Megan, first of all, being an American is one, and then being black is another one. I would switch them around. Being black first, and then, but having to kind of integrate yourself in these people and integrate yourself into this life is very daunting, but also very scary because you don't know, you know, you're trying to figure out that if I do this, what happens, if I do that, what the queen going to say. And at the time, she's looking towards the queen. She's not looking at Charles
mm-hmm.
because he's a non-factor, but I'm looking at the queen, the late Queen Elizabeth, to see how to take cues or what does she think. And that's the unfortunate part about marrying into people of high social status, like monarchy. Because you're always, like I said, you're always going to be in the scrutiny. You do something wrong, you wear the wrong dress with those shoes, always going to be frowned upon, so.
Right. Gotcha.
I just think that, yeah.
Respect. Go ahead.
I will bring this up. Yeah. Mar Braxton. We all love her. We all remember her from Braxton Family Values.
Speak for yourself.
I didn't say we loved her.
You said we all loved her.
Yeah, that's something you say. I didn't say we all loved her. She has put out a narrative that, well, first of all, let's backtrack. If you all know, Tamar was married to Vince. She had a whole show about it, where she and Vince had their own show, Vince and Tamar, which was a spinoff of the Braxton Family Values. And we know that she had a tumultuous relationship. She divorced. She recently was on, it was called The Queen, something about Queens.
The Queen's Court.
I can't remember the show. The Queen's Court, where she and two other reality show TV stars were looking for love, and they had to go on a series of dates. Tamar found her future guy who appears to be Caucasian, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are now engaged to be married. I don't know if it was for the show purpose or is it real. I don't know. I'm not opening that can of worms. Because, you know, because, like, the show 90 Day Fiancé, the people get married. The people get married or, no, married at first sight. The people get married for the show. They marry, and then sometimes the relationships don't work, and they end up divorcing. Or what's another one? That's married at first sight because they don't see the person at first, and they marry somebody they don't really know.
She's seen him.
So I don't know if it's for show purposes or whatever. So now she's engaged, and then recently she's saying that Candy and Todd wanted to fight her. Now, I don't know the logistics. Maybe you can add a little bit more light to this because I'm just hearing this, I think, the other day. So what is your take on this feud?
How can I say this nicely?
Just say it. It's our radio show. So it's our show.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
It's our opinion.
Just trying to figure out a nice way of saying what I want to say. I'm not impressed.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, it came across my screen, and I said okay, and I moved forward, and I kept pushing.
So
I'm over it.
So, well, what is the dynamic? Why would Candy inside try to beat her up?
I mean, she probably said something disrespectful in her mouth because, you know, Tamar likes her attention. She likes to start a bunch of stuff. She probably said something she didn't have no business saying. And, you know, that's not going to run by Candy because, you know, Candy is still part hood, whereas Tamar doesn't, you know, she only claims Baltimore when it's to her advantage. But, you know,
well, she can't claim Baltimore because they grew up in Glen Burnie. But, okay.
Well, that part. But, you know, Tamar's not Tracy. She's not the hood one. She's the ratchet one. It's a little difference between being ratchet and being hood, whereas Candy is both ratchet and hood. And so she don't really care how you feel what she got to say. She's going to say it, she's going to check it, and she's going to keep it moving. You know, she's about to smoke. She likes to smoke. So I feel that Tamar probably said something sideways, like she always do. It wasn't received the way that she thought it was going to be received. And that diva almost got knocked off of her shoulders. And I'm okay with it. I'm here for it. I would have celebrated. I ain't even going to hold you. I'm here for it. And they produced receipts. Because Candy was definitely denying it, and I do believe that's my issue. That's the only issue I would say I have with her, is that she's always trying to throw stones and then hide it, because she's very, oh, my God, the media's back on me type of person. You know, if you did it, you did it. And if you did it, kudos to you. Should have did it.
Now, it has been some, as you know, on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia Williams, whatever her new name is, she said that Candy and Todd wanted to, I think, kidnap her or do something to her sexually.
Whatever her new name is.
I'm going to find out what it is. I'm going to get to the bottom of it. It's African. I know that much.
Yeah. You did so well brushing that underneath the rug, though.
She said that Candy and Todd wanted to kidnap her or do something to her sexually. So, I don't know that, you know, in Hollywood, you know, there are cases of people being couples that play together. But I find this interesting that Todd again is involved in something with another person. And I've I'm not saying Tamar totally blameless in all of this, because I don't feel like she's not blameless in this. But I just think that it's interesting that Todd is in this. And I'm trying to find it.
Why do you find that interesting out of curiosity? Because he's a little sneaky with
you. Well, I'm just...
Like, he hasn't been an angel. He definitely has had his mouth on some stuff that it shouldn't have been on.
Exactly. And I think that's why I find it interesting. But I also find, like, Todd doesn't really have really much to do. So why not be involved in a feud with a couple of people? I mean, let's just make this happen.
Fact.
Let's make this happen. Let's, hey. Katie, what should we do? Oh, let's pick a fight with Tamar, or let's create, you know, I'm not saying that's what they're doing.
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like it's something that you shouldn't even have to go through. Like, your wife is in enough TV drama. She's in enough reality show drama. She's in enough drama in and out of the world of entertainment. I mean, you got the drama with SWV. You got the drama with her own group members. You got the drama over the fact that she has one of the dirtiest restaurants in Atlanta. Like, there's enough drama your wife is in.
We're going to talk about that, this escape beef, too, because we need to talk about Tamika and Tasha. Yeah.
That, don't you?
Yes. And their
mama. Don't leave their mama out. Their mama, too.
Yeah. I know y'all like, well, we normally have topics, but tonight... We're going hot in the topics tonight. I think we wasn't on last. We had some very juicy hot topics for you all, but these are very, very juicy tonight. Very juicy hot topics. So don't get bored with us. Just follow along with us. And again, if you want to sign in, give us a call at 319-527-6083 and let us know your opinion about these hot topics. Let's go to the Tasha and Tamika. It is just got, so y'all know Escape and SWV have a new television show on Bravo where they are doing a tour together. They're doing a tour together. Tamika is claiming that her sister stole her money. I think it was $30,000 in royalties, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Where Tasha's husband changed the routing number on a check, some checks, and had the money sent to their address, or the money was sent to their address. They changed the routing numbers and deposited Tamika's money into their account. So basically, they stole their money.
Which I can see happening because her husband is sneaky and he's her mouthpiece and she only says what he tells her to say.
Right. And so now the mother is defending Tasha and not, of course. And Tamika stated that I've had to go through this all of my life, that they will defend. And that's very sad that as an older sibling, having to feel like your own parents are not on your side is very disheartening. But let's deal with
younger
Tasha's older than Tamika. So let's talk about this. You're going to steal my money, and I'm going to call you out for stealing my money because you stole my money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would have called her out. I would have blasted her on every platform that she could be blasted on. And I would have blasted her mama, too, because 9 out of 10, that wench probably got some of it because she favors Latasha. And Latasha has always been the issue with Escape because that she allowed her little fame to go to her head. Can you sing? Yes. Are you the best in Escape? Heck no. So I feel like, you know, Tasha needs a real wake-up call, come to Jesus moment. And I feel like sometimes... And from watching the show, I feel like, you know, sometimes T.I.'s wife needs to stop playing two sides of the fence and call it what it is. You say one thing when she's not in your face, you say something totally different when you in hers. Like, come on, boo-boo. This is that light-skinned tendency bullshit. Like, the chick needs to be brought down to reality. You're not the best member we have, baby. We can definitely replace you. There are definitely people out here who can hold your notes, starting with your own group. And I feel like, you know, for you to take your sister's money, it was classless. It was very, very, to even get your mom involved and then have an attitude because your sister said some things to your mom. Well, maybe your mom needed to hear how your sister felt, and maybe it was time for your sister to finally voice her opinion because she has enough hurt and bull.
Right.
And then, you know, we're not going to take family business with Bobby as the oldest child. I can say that. Your opinion doesn't matter anymore. And apparently
I think that when the parents take sides and pick a favorite, that's also very hurtful for those.
Yes.
I think even for Tamika, it would be very hurtful if my mother took my side, take my sister's side all the time, but never looks and see what she does. And you're pacifying. And I know that has to hurt.
Right.
And I know that has to be very daunting because you want to be able to trust your parents, but you also want to feel like you're appreciated.
Because I think what mom don't understand is it wasn't just Latasha's money that helped her get to where she is. But Tamika had to spend some of her change too.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
I think that's bad.
Didn't do everything.
Right. And I think it's sad that she's dealing with that, and it saddens me that as a family, like, you don't trust your own family.
Right.
I was talking to my uncle about this when I was getting my haircut last Friday, and he said something that was very interesting, is that, you know, everybody has money in the group except Tasha.
Yeah.
So it's like Candy has her own business that's thriving. Tiny has her own thing going on that's thriving. Even Tamika has something going on that's making her more notable. But Tasha's the only one in the group that has nothing really going on. And then she has a whole gospel album that is coming out, but this is during the process of her being a part of the tour and the group. So it's interesting to see how this is all going to play out as sisters, as group. How is Tasha, you know, again, how is Tasha going to be able to manage?
I just hope her gospel album is better than that R&B crap she released. And then I want to know who's going to take her seriously when every time I see you sing, your titties just popped out.
Well, you know.
Now all of a sudden you want to sing for the Lord. You know what that tells me? This is a last resort thing. And now all of a sudden you want to remember that at one point in time in your life you knew who Jesus was.
I also feel like she's not making it in the R&B industry. And she wants to go another route because
she should win the jazz.
And I feel like a lot of singers do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it doesn't work. Like, why go to gospel? If your voice is not even gospel material, why sing something that is in your genre? I agree with
you. Why?
She could go to jazz.
Because she was. I'm going to tell you why. Because she was one of those kids that went to church and sung for the Sunday school convention. And everybody in church said, oh, girl, you're so talented. The Lord's going to use you. Instead of saying, you know, you got a good voice, and leaving it there.
I want to hear this gospel album, though. I ain't going to even lie to you.
Let me know what you think. I'm gonna pay it, and it's gonna be a hard no for me.
But I don't understand why Christ, who has an amazing voice, did a gospel album, and it just what happened?
Who's that?
Kelly Price.
I feel
it's
even
a gospel
with,
album.
Well, it's the same with Kelly. Like, you know, you have a great voice. Yes, you can speak in tongues. We get it. I really want to say, really, what killed Kelly, at least in my eye, Kelly is very arrogant. And you can't sing gospel and be arrogant. Kelly is very, oh, I didn't show up, that's cool. I'm Kelly Price. You know, even on Sunday, when they had her on Sunday Best, I felt like she was like the new Kim Burrell. Like, I'm bringing you on. And, you know, and because I'm Kelly Price, I'm going to find a way to downplay your skill set. And I know this isn't going to be popular with a lot of people, and quite frankly, I gave you my disclaimer at the beginning of the show. I don't care. But, you know, I feel like in the gospel community and in the African-American community as a whole, we hype up a lot of people who don't need to be hyped up. Can Kelly Price sing? Yes. Have I seen better? Hell yeah. When she came to Philly for the Essence of Entertainment, you know, the first year she missed because that's when she went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. When she came the second year, I personally said this was a waste of my money, as it was when I went to see her father, Ron Isley, whose set change took longer than his performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, but not sorry.
Right.
So when them R&B checks ain't cutting, all of a sudden we remember we went to Hezekiah Walker's church, so I'm going to use that to my advantage to try to sell a gospel CD.
Right. But I don't think everybody is it's kind of like, I feel like a lot of artists that I could see singing gospel because they sang gospel don't have to always do it. Like, I feel like Faith Evans, she was a gospel artist. She sang in a group. She sang with Karen Clark on Karen Clark's first solo project,
mm-hmm.
and I had a hard time telling them apart. but I also felt like she's never said, I'm going to flow into gospel. I'm going to do a gospel album. I've never heard her say, I'm going to do a gospel album, and I'm going to do this. Now, with Fantasia doing a gospel album and people buying it and it being what it is,
yeah.
So that's Fanny.
Yes.
And that's where her roots are. And that's where she flourishes. And I'm blessed
yeah.
she also flourishes in R&B. But for real, for me, I want to see Fantasia do a soul album where it's soulful hits. You know, and I don't feel like I would be disappointed if Fantasia gave me a pop album, an R&B album, a gospel
Fantasia
album.
Fantasia has oil that different. Fantasia oil than many of the artists that are out today. Like, you know, I do believe that, you know, there are certain artists who just, they got it. And her hunger
yeah.
is different. You know, like, for instance,
right.
Yolanda. Yolanda is one of the best vocals for tributes I've ever experienced in my life. The way she ate the Anita Baker tribute, the way she ate the Whitney Houston tribute, the way she ate the, it was one tribute that I was just like, no, Yolanda, that's not you, baby. But there have been tributes that Yolanda has done that I was like, yes. And she ate it. And I would welcome a Yolanda Adams R&B album because she just
right.
has it. But there are some that I'm like, like that Endow Me remake, I'm okay. You know, great idea, wrong people. Coco screamed the whole single. Little Mo. I don't know what she went through, but she confused me. Kiara, it's almost like this is my mama's song, so I'm not going to sit here and battle y'all, so let me just out-scream y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like Tasia really couldn't grasp the hold of it until they did it live, and that spirit smacked her, but that's Tasia's element.
Right.
You know, then they all left her on stage except for Coco, who's like the giant of the crew, because she's the only one who felt it for real. I'm okay. We gotta do better. We gotta do better. Everybody don't have it, and it's okay to be one of the ones who don't. It really is. You know, I'm not the greatest.
Right. It's okay to say.
But I'm okay with that.
And it's okay to say maybe this genre is not for me.
Yeah.
Maybe this area is not for me. Like Whitney Houston is another one who I felt could cross a couple of genres. But
yeah.
Pop was her thing. But then when I heard her final album, like, I actually downloaded it. And one of my favorite songs is Dollar Bill. Why is that my favorite song, one of my favorite songs on that album? It's because I felt like soulful song. But,
mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you got Whitney singing in this low register. You got her
mm-hmm.
really giving. And it's like, dang, Whitney could sing her behind off in
yeah.
any key and any register. This low register is really hitting it for me.
Absolutely.
So I feel like Whitney
yeah.
was one.
I mean, to
one
me.
One who really shocked me.
Who's that?
And it's going to make you laugh. So CeCe Winans did an album a few years ago, and she covered, like, some of her songs were gospel, but they were gospel. They were genre. So, like, she does this song that's very 70s with the Clark Sisters. Then she does this one ballad. It sounds like country. And then she does this one where it sounds like low R&B, pop. I mean, it's a couple of them that she did. To be a gospel album, I was like, this is very, she's covering a lot of genres on this gospel album.
Well, you know, that was always BBC slow, though. That was always the BBC
yeah.
slow. I felt like, you know, if you look at the, even their from their first album, their Addictive Love album, that covers so many genres.
Right.
You know, so I felt like they were always underrated because they weren't the Clark Sisters. And while I do acknowledge and understand the gift that the Clark Sisters were to gospel, they weren't the know-all, be-all. But that's what we made them out to be. Did they accomplish a lot? Yes. Was their accomplishment needed? Absolutely.
Right.
You know, because let's just be real. Like, if it wasn't for the Clark Sisters, most church would be born. You know, but I do feel like we hyped them to be something that they were. One, they were not completely. You know, and so we have to look at that. And because of the way they hyped them, because of the style of religion that they were and things like that, like minus Denise, who really just didn't care, I feel like, you know, it kind of limited them because, you know, Twinkie could have done easily any genre.
Right.
And killed it. Like,
she included genres in a lot of her songs.
Absolutely.
She got in trouble for them, too.
That's where I'm going with it, right there. That's where I'm going with it. She included a lot of genres, but in the midst of just being a unique individual, she got martyred, damn near, for just being who God uniquely created her to be. Music is a feel, and music to me is a art form. And the longer we desecrate what music was designed to be, don't get me wrong, there are artists out here that I would be like, I don't even want to see you perform on TV because you're making me feel like I'm on freaking P-Valley. And there are artists that I would never allow, you know, any children, if I had children at this time, to listen to, because I also like when music had meaning. But I do feel that we as a unit have to go back to days where I feel like we have to, one, stop limiting music, but then, two, I also think we need to bring back creativity of music. And Tasia, to me, she has, she's one of the few that no matter when she's in concert, I can go. Kim's another one. I can listen to Kim, you know, hey, girl, I can listen to Kim almost every day. Maxwell is another one. You know, he got it. New Edition, another just classic people that I just feel like will never age and could never do wrong in music.
Now, I, on the other hand, I like Kim Burrell.
I
like her music.
Kim Burrell. Sorry.
I like her music. And not all of her music. Like, it's two albums that stand out to me. It was, of course, her first one. Not her very, very first one. But the one song, Holy Ghost, on it. I love that album. And then her love album, the one she did was like a love album. Because, again, in that one, she covers a couple of genres. As far as Kim Burrell as a person, I don't know her personally. I don't like some of the things that she said, but that didn't stop me from listening to her music because I don't support what she says, but her music to me is just unique and different. So I do believe
she's very asthmatic.
You said what?
She sounds asthmatic to me when she sings.
She sounds asthmatic.
Hey, yeah, like always. Sound like she's wheezing every time she sings to me. I'm sorry.
Damn,
I'm like, I can't get with this. Right there. Yep, that right there. I mean, and she probably can't either, but I'm okay with that. I told you. You know, these are my views. You don't have to agree with them. I just feel like, you know, when I listen to Kim, I feel like I'm going to Med Express. It's not for me. You know, just always asthmatic.
Holy God, all am I. Oh, God.
I just feel like no, that's not going to be nice. I can't even put that in a nice way.
I cannot with you.
Yeah, I just feel, you know, if they took her off of every platform today, I will be okay. Like, I wouldn't miss her. I wouldn't be like, oh, wow, I wish I could hear Kim Burrell one more time. I'm sorry, I wouldn't. You know, now, Rochelle Pharrell, same way for me. I love Rochelle Pharrell. I love her diction. I love the number of octaves she can sing. But let's be real. I know her rendition of Betcha by Golly, where nothing has ever felt like this with open arms and that's probably it. So I wouldn't miss you. I wouldn't miss you. I'd be like, wow, yeah, she was a great singer. And there are people I know that feel like that with, like, Patty and with others. But, you know, it is what it is. That's just me. Like I said, you know, these are my views. You know, what you want to take me off air? Picture that. like, just my views.
I'm going to say my name. Patty, Patty.
I didn't really like that song a lot. I felt like Patty was going just a little bit above her means with that song. Like, Patty, come on, baby. Just sing. Now, Patty can never go wrong with me as long as she's doing, like, Over the Rainbow, You Are My Friend, like, the timeless classics of Patti LaBelle. But there were certain Patty songs that I was just like, Patty, you dropped the ball on this one, boo. You know?
I feel that way about some of my artists. Like, certain songs be like, no, I can't. No, you, no, wait, whoa. Okay, goodbye.
And to me, you know who can sing a lot of genres that is off the chain? Gladys. I've heard Gladys do many genres. Country, I've heard her do gospel. I've heard her do pop. I've heard her do R&B. I've heard her do soul. I've heard her do jazz. I have never been disappointed. Like, I promise you, I've never been disappointed with Gladys Knight. Fired on me.
I'm fine. I do agree. I agree.
Really?
I agree with you.
But yeah, that's where I'm at. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Kofi Kingston showed his scar wound for his injury. Oh my God, looked like he auditioned for the last words of Christ.
Wow. Do we have any other topics we want to discuss tonight?
I'm sorry. You ever just have some things come across your screen and you just, because I'm looking at other hot topics and I'm just like. Oh, why would y'all put his foot? Why would he put his foot? Or I just sent it to you. Bishop bling. And the number of lawsuits that is coming his way. Bishop bling.
From that one that got robbed and it got thrown on.
Absolutely.
Oh Lord, lawsuits. What's going on here, honey?
So he has
Walker voice.
He has some things going on where he's being sued again, and he has some things that where he's trying to sue others for. Defamation of character, amongst other things. And I don't understand. You've been proven guilty, sir. So to feel like everybody is just hating on you at this point, that's not it. Like, you have been proven, you know, innocent until proven guilty. You've been proven guilty. I'm going to need you to go ahead and have several seats now.
Okay.
I feel like if you look up mockery of the church in the dictionary, the encyclopedia, and any other reference book, it should automatically show his face from here on out. So you haven't heard any of this.
So what happened to him? What did he do?
Oh, so he's been in the news lately because he's been back on social media platforms arguing that everybody doesn't like him and that social media is trying to set him up. It's him along with the young lady Cardi B is now getting ready to send to the Broke House. And they have been discussing how they have been set up against Larry Reed and others, and he said that Whitehead has said that
at this point, he just feels like there's a huge conspiracy against him to shut down him and his ministry, because people cannot handle the way he presents ministry.
Okay.
So, yeah. And yeah, it's very much, I just feel this is much foolishness.
Yeah, it is. I don't think,
you don't think what?
Text message. I got a text message.
It was like, damn, wait, what?
I'm sorry. I got a text message that said somebody wants me to preach.
Okay. Look at you.
Okay. Let me put my phone down. I don't think it's anyone personally attacking his ministry. When you set yourself up to do crazy stuff, and you put yourself on social media, you give social media the opportunity to talk about you, to make decisions about you on your own. I wouldn't say that Larry Reed is trying to destroy him when you've done it yourself. Like, when he choked that woman at that church, he was wrong for that. He should have never put his hands on that woman. If he was coming for your wife, you have ushers, you have adjutants, you have armor bearers, you have these people in place, security. Ask security to remove her, but you chose to put your hands on her. And you were recording when it happened. You were recording it. Nobody else had their phone out. You are visibly in the camera of your own church, of your own recording, with this woman.
I agree.
When you got robbed, you were on camera, and you got robbed. Which I thought was interesting that they never took the camera phone that was recording them. They're robbing them. They're taking all their jewelry. You don't take the phone?
Which has proven to be, from what I understand, even the robbery was not even like a robbery, but it was more like, this is what you owe me type thing.
Amazing.
Like, I'm repossessing based upon what you owe me. When have you read that the robbers were charged?
No, I haven't read they were charged anything.
But supposedly he identified them.
Right. So,
I got time.
Yeah. It sounds very shady. But, again, when you're doing stuff and you are seeing places where you have no business, no one can come for your ministry. Like, this is not a spiritual attack. This is a personal attack on your character, because apparently your character is lacking. And so you cannot be upset or mad that you are this is happening to you. Like, please get over yourself. Sat down.
Absolutely.
Because all those bloggers and all they're doing is reporting what the national news would do. It's just the way they're doing it is on their own platform. Like, I feel like we're scared. Put stuff on social media. When you post stuff on your Facebook page, videos and stuff, you are at the scrutiny of people. So when you put yourself out there, you must face the fact that you will be scrutinized. Everybody's not going to agree with the way you did things. Everybody's not going to like the way you did things. They're not going to like it. You have to get over it. And you have to, I mean, sorry, not get over it. You have to either accept the consequences of your actions, or you're going to, or you are just going to fall apart. And I feel like with him, a lot of unanswered questions, but it's also a lot of things that he's done that he refuses to face.
Yes.
So don't continue to blame everybody else or Larry, this person trying to take you out, or this person trying to do things to you. Like, I feel like that's what we do when it comes to church, like, for real. We do that. Oh, this person tried to do this against me, and it's the enemy trying to fight me. But you caused it, and you, yeah, but it's the enemy.
Well, if it's not the enemy, then it's going to be another church person.
Yeah.
Now, but, I mean, that's the thing. I felt like when this news broke, CNN covered it, BET covered it, Vibe Magazine covered it. It was every social platform covered it, and the one person you came after was Larry Reed. That's crazy. Same with Homegirl that got sued by Cardi B. The one person she jumped after first.
Tasha K.
Yeah, Tasha K. First person she came after, Larry Reed. Because of the vulnerability, he's able to be reached.
Right.
You know, everybody covered her. Madam Noor covered her. Everybody covered her. So, like, come on now. I just
but
like
the thing is, it's too much, but it's a shame because we so don't want to be scrutinized. We so don't, like, my principal told me, she said, and I said, everything you do, Mr. Stevenson, you're not going to please everybody. And when she said that, I was like, she is exactly right. She is exactly right. Because I cannot, everything I try to do or sometimes what may seem right to me, I'm not going to please everybody. But you got to be right yourself.
Yeah.
Take these people's money and the extra and stop with the nonsense. You visibly choked that woman up in church and then blamed her.
Right.
You're wrong.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of wrong church people, Pastor Jamila Gooden has been in the news and across social media lately. She called out a prophetess who apparently, which she said, tried to come in between her husband in her marriage. She's married to Pastor Fred Gooden III. And she had a word for one Natasha Davis, who said she had a word for the husband, and Pastor Jamila Gooden said, no, you have a word for us. And she went buck wild. She said she had a different kind of first lady, and she was coming for that ass. She ain't typical. She's a fighting first lady. She warned you is what came out of her mouth is that, you know, if I catch you on the street, I warned you because I'm a Brooklyn chick and I will never change. I'm just an anointed Brooklyn chick. I just want to know when do we start making threats behind the pulpit?
I don't know, but she has since apologized about what she said. She realized that she did make a mistake, and she said she said that over the pulpit, which is true. Which is true.
Which is true.
I think we've always been making threats over the pulpit. I think we've used the pulpit to say a lot of things and call it open rebuke when it's really not. It's really you throwing off on people. And it's really you expressing how you feel. I just believe that, again, there are some things that shouldn't be said over the pulpit. You know, we're both pastors, and we try not to do stuff like that. I think that she should have She should have told her again, told her people to turn off the cameras, and then she could have said what she wanted to say at that point, because there's no record of it, unless someone knows how to say anything.
No.
Or address the prosecutor by herself.
Right, because if you said it, even if you turned the cameras off, somebody would have pulled their cell phone up.
Right.
We once again, we live in a social media world. They're always
right.
looking for tea. They're always looking for gossip because that's how people function now. If they didn't trust me, Zeus Network would not be still making money.
Right.
People literally, to me, are doing things for the clout. I do feel like, yes, she should have apologized. Did you only apologize because them church mothers cornered you and laid you across that altar? Or did you really apologize because you really want to make things right? That's how I'm looking at it.
Well, I can't say what she said, and I don't know what was in her mind, which I appreciate her apologizing because, again, I believe that certain things should not be said over a pulpit, and these discussions need to happen offline. Again, even if I have an issue with one of my coworkers, don't go to the principal and say what you have to say to her. Come to me and say what you have to say to me.
Absolutely.
Like, don't do that.
Absolutely.
Be adult enough to come to somebody and say, I didn't agree with what you said. You shouldn't have, you don't have a word for my husband. You have a word for me. And even with that, though, I would have the prophetess clarify. Listen to the prophecy.
Right.
Listen to the prophecy and judge it. That's what you're supposed to do anyway. And if it doesn't fit what you believe, then you don't have to receive it, and neither does he. But again, say things in the heat of the moment.
Right.
When we shouldn't. Because why would you come before that woman's ass? What did she do?
Right. Right. And if
that
you
was
going to
fight
her. Like
that
you
was going to fight her.
You should have fought her. Don't talk about it. Be about
like
it.
Like you was going to fight her. You're going to fight the prophetess. That woman probably wasn't even thinking about you. I don't even remember your name. I know it's the overseer going to come and fight me. No, girl.
Who would say the prophetess actually wanted her man? Let's start with that.
I wasn't going to say all that, but okay.
Like, you got all this going on over a prophetic, you got all this coming over a prophetic word, but who's the really, she had a prophecy, she had a word for my husband to a, you're pushing up, you're trying to break up our marriage. So I just want to know, how did she connect the dots on that? That would be like Juanita Bynum calling and saying, I have a word for your husband. And she going to come at Juanita like that too? No, you have a word for us. No. If I'm a prophet and the Lord said it's for your husband, this ain't got nothing to do with you. So, I don't know. Moving on. Celebrity stylist Laura Roach has checked up the deuces to the stylist business.
Wait a minute, Paul, let's talk about this name. Is that his real name? Let's be clear, Law Roach. His last name is Roach and his first name is Law.
Renowned fashion stylist Law Roach recently announced that he is retiring from the industry of fashion. Law is a co-host on the show, which has now been canceled, Legendary. He is one of the baddest in the game. I'm not going to hold you to that at all.
He is one of the...
That is really his name.
Yes.
Lawrence Roach. Okay.
Yes, Law Roach. He's known for a number of looks that he has created in the game, styling everyone from Zendaya to Celine Dion to Jay-Z to Pharrell. I mean, he's a bad boy. To Genuine, to Lauryn Hill. Like, there are so many people that is on his repertoire. But he is now retired. He's retiring from the fashion industry. And I think a lot of it deals with the fact that, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the industry that are being overlooked.
Right. He said that he is frustrated by some things that were some false narratives about him, and it has caused him to lose clients. So he is retiring to kind of, he's got burnout. He's trying to work on being a better person. That's honorable. I wish he wouldn't have retired, but maybe taking a brief hiatus for a while to kind of gather himself. I feel like he may come out of retirement once he gets in a better place. I feel like he could make an impact. I get why he's doing it, but I also believe that maybe he should have said, okay, maybe I'll just take a brief break. I'll take a break for at least a couple years and then get back in the game. But I understand. I get it. I get it. Burnout is real.
Yeah. And he's phenomenal. He's not, he's phenomenal. Like, and I will say, if he styled Legendary, first of all, let me just be real. Like, some of the clothes on Legendary, crazy. When I say crazy, I mean, yeah. Like, Law, I'm with you. And he was the fashion judge, I believe, on Legendary. And even on the show, there were things that some people couldn't get with him. I believe that a lot of people can't handle the fact that he's no nonsense, but he's real. And if I look a mess and I'm a celebrity, I'm going to really need somebody who loves me to tell me I look a mess.
Right. I mean, so that's why they're hired. They're hired to style you and to make you look your best. Especially when it comes to award shows, because people are looking for you to set a trend. And nine times, and I noticed, like, they're more hard on women than they are on men. Like, a man can wear a tuxedo with flames coming out the arm. Very fashionable. But when it comes to women, we are really harder on them. And I don't think it's fair. Because everybody
has
to
really, really harder
shirt.
On women? Like, really?
Yes.
Because
yes. Really
have we really looked at some of the things that women have been wearing lately?
Yes. And some of it, yes, I agree. It's some trash. But if a man picked out a particular suit or wore something to the show, we're less judgmental of the man or more judgmental of the woman, because remember, it's award season. So whatever it, and the thing is, we got to look at, it starts with, what's the first award season that we, it's Golden Globes, I think.
Right.
It starts with Golden Globes. But there are other awards that we don't see. So it's a whole season where they're getting awards. But we start with Golden Globes, SAG Awards. Because it goes Golden Globes, SAG, I feel like it's ACP. And then we get to the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, if she's going to all these award shows, she has to be styled literally for every award show.
Yeah.
The man, if he's going to all these award shows, but we nitpick what they wear, and we do this every award season. Every award season, the actors, we nitpick what they wear based on she wore this at this, but then when we got the Oscars, she didn't do it. Was an epic fail. I used to watch when, what's her name was alive? What's that woman's name? Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers and her daughter Melissa would do this red carpet. And it would be hilarious because she would, you know, ask them what they were wearing and who made it and that, that. And then they would give their commentary. And then E started doing the commentary for, like, okay, the next night after it's over, who was the best dressed, who was the worst. And we make these lists. Who was the best dressed, who was the worst dressed. And the men are like plain. You look at their clothes, it's like, well, they could have, that's just any old tuxedo they put on the back of their closet. Women have the women put more thought into it. They're doing their accessories. They're doing their gowns. They're doing their shoes. They're doing their hair and their makeup. That's what we're looking for when it comes to women. When it comes to men, we're looking at their shoes and their tuxedos and their shirts. But they could have looked like they went to, what's that men's store with the tuxedos? Warehouse and got their tuxedos. Men's Warehouse and get that Giorgio Armani.
Right.
There's no thought put into it with the men. And we really judge the women harsher than we do the men. Now, do some of it look a mess? Yes. I mean, or could it have been better for the particular award show? Because I think we look for women to be high fashion couture when they go to the Emmy, I mean, the Oscars. But then when they go to the Golden Globe, we're looking for a more scaled down. So you're looking at fashion based on the award show. Like, when we look at the Grammys, their musicians, you expect them to be a little eccentric with their style. They may not wear a full gown or a tuxedo or this and that. They may wear a jean outfit.
When we go to the
Oscars, we're expecting couture gowns and this, and this. And it's not fair. Because what if I don't have all of what I want? Or I had a thing, I was creative, and maybe I came off with a low-cut white gown with my butt out like J-Lo from the Grammys. And what year was that? 2000s?
Early 2000s.
I don't know what that's the look I'm going for. Yeah, but then I look on one list, it's an epic fail. But then I look on another list, it was fabulous. So... And I like watching Project Runway because Heidi Klum would say, with fashion, one day you're in and the next day you're out. Wayne could have made Angela Bassett's gown for this. Vera Wayne, she could have wore Vera Wayne to another. But the Vera Wayne she wore to the Golden Globes was, oh, my God, Angela looked flawless in this gown and this Vera Wayne gown and da-da-da-da-da. But when she goes to the Oscars, Angela Bassett really missed it at the Oscar in this Vera Wang. You see what I'm saying? So with women, we're harsher because of that. We're expecting a certain look. We're expecting them to, whatever they wore at this award show, we're expecting them to even be higher by the time they get to the Oscar.
Understandable. Speaking of saying deuces, Tyra Banks is now saying deuces to Dancing with the Stars. To focus on her ice cream business is what she said.
No, they didn't like her on that show. Yeah, she had a hard time. And see, what happens is with shows, if it works, see, I know this as a avid television watcher, but also kind of knowing the ins and outs of what I'm watching and what I'm looking at and having a little bit more knowledge of it. Shows work better when you stick to a certain formula. Because, you know, like, the more the shows age, it's hard to keep it creative. When you've been on Dancing with the Stars for, what, 20-some years or seasons, when you start getting to these high seasons, like, it's hard to keep shows fresh. So when you, like, one thing they did was they fired the old host, brought Tyra in, and it didn't work. Tyra Banks was going to come in and add something to it was not the best decision. Sometimes a show doesn't need a revamp. It may need a refreshing. It may need, well, let's add this person to the host and see how they do. It all depends. Like, you got to be careful when you start. Because a lot of, that's why a lot of TV shows in their later seasons, like, when you start doing 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 20-plus years and beyond, it's hard to keep the show fresh. The only thing that really does stuff like that may be a soap opera. And that's because, and then you change writers. So a soap opera can handle it because it's the way that it's formatted. But when you start doing, like, TV shows like Dancing with the Stars, reality TV shows, or more scripted shows, it's hard to keep them fresh. They were saying Tyra was terrible. I never watched it because I wasn't a Dancing with the Stars person. But they didn't like her. The audience did not, the viewing audience did not like
her. Tyra was definitely, she was definitely bland. She was definitely drunk. It was not, I think someone should have told Tyra this is not America's Next Top Model, but this
it wasn't given what it's supposed to give.
Laura Roach has this thing of saying you did what needed to be done. She ain't did it. Not one time.
Yeah.
And so I do feel that, she could have been better, as a host. She was not pleased when they brought Alfonso Rivera. But he brought the ratings back up. So,
right.
You know, I personally felt like when they brought him back in, her intro should have been, you were about to lose your job. She came in very demanding. She came in very Tyra-ish. And we all know she has kind of like an ego. So, yeah, I do feel, that, you know, it is what it is. I do feel that she could have been better. And a decision could have been better to have a better host to begin with. No one wanted Tyra for Dance with the Stars. When they announced that she was going to Dance with the Stars, the fans said, huh, what the hell? Like, You should definitely have chosen a different person as it related to Dancing with the Stars. But, you know, we think we're doing what's best for business when most of the time we're doing what's best for us.
Right. I think adding him saved the show, but I think he could have done just as well by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The last thing I have,
and I'm done. Bad Boys, this new Bad Boys cast of whatever. I don't even know what Bad Boys they're on now, but I guess this show that comes on. What is that? Is that Zeus? Or is it the Zeus spinoff?
You're talking to the wrong one because of, I don't watch any of that, but I'm waiting for you.
Okay, so I don't watch it either, but what caught my eye was the fact that they put Raz B and they put uh That's a Raven. What's his name?
Orlando Brown?
Orlando Brown in this show.
Oh, this is like a, oh, Lord.
Along with Kirk Franklin's son.
Again, they added him back on there.
Yeah, he's back. He's back. Amongst others. And I'm really like, yo, this ain't cute at this point anymore. Like,
well,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, the show was never something that I think should have been. Well, see, that's how I am with baddies too. Like, I just feel like, you know, it's over it. Half these chicks got kids, and y'all make y'all kids, y'all embarrass y'all kids. So I don't really have respect for y'all either. But they have Orlando Brown and they have Razzby, along with some of the original cast. And it's on Zeus, the Bad Boys Club. It's on Zeus.
So it must be for rating purposes. So I feel like it's for rating purposes.
Of course it's for rating.
It's for rating. So because that would be the only reason why you would add
this. They're making a mockery of this man.
Razzby. But also,
B2K went off the air. But anywho.
Look at it like this. Razzby has been very vocal over the past couple of years about what has happened to him. Orlando Brown has had some mental health challenges. And they didn't add him back on Raven's Home and our family. They actually took his character and sent him to Japan. They didn't say, we're going to get another voice actor. We're going to, they could have used the young man who plays in that Raven's Home. They could have got him to play the character of Sticky. So they didn't even include him. They just skipped him off to, he didn't even speak. He didn't even tell Penny and DeJanay bye. See, he didn't tell Penny, DeJanay, Chloe, Laha Seneca by on the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. He just left.
I just feel like...
I feel like it's for rating. It's for rating purposes. It's to build a rating just like adding Kirk Franklin's son back in the mix when they took him off in
their rally.
So
Jonathan from the first season, Relly from the first season, Carrion and Anthony are all from the first season. And then and then they have now Razzby, Orlando Brown, Big Lou, Mo City, or Ma City, whatever he calls himself, D and Ara. And former Love and Hip Hop Miami star Prince will also be joining the cast.
Prince. Now, how many of these people is the gays? That's what I want to know.
I thought everybody on this show was gay. You know, Orlando Brown, I don't know what he is.
And my concern is Orlando Brown going to have a mental break on the show and call
Already
everything to be... Lord, did they have to take him to the hospital?
I don't know. I know they had to carry him out the club from the clip I seen where he was lit, like done. Like, why would y'all put,
first of all,
he's not supposed to be drinking. Why would y'all have him around this much liquor?
Exactly. Rating.
And
his
name was Razzby is not a drinker. Like, Razzby, there's nothing about Razzby that says bad boy, first of all. Let's start there. nothing about Raz D. That's his bad boy.
So who do you think is gonna sleep with Carry On? Raz D, maybe? Orlando?
I can see Carry On, Orlando, and Raz B all having like a good threesome moment. Like, you know, all of them got mental issues. They're all crazy as hell. None of them were drinkers, and none of them will remember what happened in the morning.
Yeah. All right. So
they will all blame an adult in their lives for it happening.
It was Kirk Franklin's fault that I slept with. It was Kirk's fault, y'all.
It's Kirk's fault I slept with these two dudes. No, it wasn't. It was Chris Stokes' fault. Like, the joy of, I'm over it.
Well, this has been a very interesting show. I hope you all enjoyed our show for tonight.
Absolutely.
We've enjoyed having you all tonight. I'm doing it. Normally you would take us out, but I'm going to do it tonight. So
listen, you see me shutting up, right?
Right. I am Maurice, the resident from B, Baltimore, where you got to. And I'm not going to say be more careful. Charm City. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I have my brother with me, Dre, all the way from the Diamond State.
It's the rock.
The first state.
Yes, sir. Biden country, baby.
Yeah. His absence, our brother from the city of brotherly love. Send you prayer and love at this time. That would be Jez Vaughn, the scholar of the group. And you have been listening to the Brothers Podcast. Join us next week at 8 o'clock. Yeah, we're gonna be on at eight, y'all.
Shout out to Apple Podcast. And shout out to iHeart Podcast. And coming soon, we are invading Amazon Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify Podcast, coming real soon to their airwaves. So, yeah, big ups. We're doing big things.
All right.
We holla.
Thank you.